Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Lee Eisenberg is our guest. He's a new friend. He's Executive Vice President and Creative Director. I'd like to see that job description. That sounds like fun. He's Creative Director at Lands' End. He's a former Editor-in-Chief of Esquire magazine and the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which I believe is destined to become an important one, The Number. That's the title of the book, folks. And he's our new friend, Lee Eisenberg. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim.
It's good to have you here. It's always a pleasure. Okay. Well, I tell you, before we get into the book, what's it like being a creative director? My audience is hearing me say that, and they're saying, wow, that sounds like a fun job.
Yeah, well, actually, I left the job at Lands' End to write this book, so I'm no longer that creative.
Oh, I got you. Well, okay.
But I was out there. And
work with me here, Lee. Work with me. How was that job?
It was a great job. And as I write in the book, it was a kind of a surprising job for me. I am a magazine guy. I used to, as you say, work at Esquire, and then I worked at Time Inc. and Time Magazine and so on. But about 7 years ago, almost to the day, I got a call and said, you know, asked me the same question you just said. Hey, how would you like to be a creative director, whatever that is, out in Wisconsin and work for Lands' End? And because I was beginning to worry about The Number, which is the subject of the book we're going to talk about in a minute, I was, you know, in my early 50s, and I thought I had kind of semi-retired, but when I got this offer to go out there and work for Lands' End, it forced me to do a lot of thinking about, you know, how much money was enough? Did I have enough? You know, I was sort of half in, half out of the workplace. I was doing what a lot of people really dream about, which is to be sort of semi-retired or downshifting, which is how we like to call it these days, and so on. But I had this offer to go out and basically run the all of the Lands' End catalogs from a creative standpoint, help build the website, run the national advertising campaign.
Do wacky stuff?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm probably the only editor in the history of creative directors who ever put Alfred E. Newman on the cover of a clothing catalog.
Well, see, that makes you my hero. That makes you my hero, Lee.
And the, you know, it was basically to run everything at the company that was not the clothing itself. I didn't have much to do with that stuff. But it was an incredibly engaging and really fulfilling experience because, you know, the work ethic out there at a place like Lands' End, anybody's ever called up and talked to those incredible phone operators who work for the company, you say, my God, I can't believe people are so friendly and
helpful. They got their cornflakes together up there, don't they?
Yeah, they do indeed. So anyway, I did that, and when I, toward the end of that adventure, I said to myself, okay, now do I have my number? You know, now do I feel secure about the rest of my life? And I decided that that would make a really good book because, you know, The Number, which is basically refers to how much money we need for the rest of our lives.
Right.
And, you know, these are longer and longer lives.
Once we stop earning a regular paycheck, so to speak.
Well, or you know, I think a lot of us are going to keep working at something. But how much in the end, you know, how much net worth, if you will, do you need in order to feel confident? And while this is something that I think a lot of us increasingly worry about, it's not something that a lot of us are comfortable talking about. And while the number is not a book that presumes to give you step-by-step investment advice, that's not who I am, it is a book about why so many of us don't take good advice and basically don't do the things that are really right by our numbers. And some of the anxieties that happen as a result.
Let's get into some of those things. One of your principles, the first principle, is that there's very little social or peer pressure to keep one's financial house in order.
That was the first thing you discovered. Has to do with the fact that we can have a lot of stuff and basically finance it with our credit cards and or you know just basically go into debt. You know, we're inundated with advertisements that tell us, you know, to buy this, buy that, you know, live a sort of a glamorous and classy kind of life. But there are very few advertisements that say, hey, wait a minute, you better give up that plasma television set this month, or, you know, you better get a SUV that's maybe, you know, three-quarters of the size that you're getting it, because you're going to have to draw on some of this money over 20 or 30 years. You know, you're going to have to build this number that you need. And because no one else seems to be doing it or confessing to that savings, we sort of don't take that advice very seriously. So, you know, even though you can walk into a bookstore and find these, you know, literally hundreds of books that tell you how to, you know, save, how to invest, how to be an armchair millionaire, blah, 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 there's not a lot of active neighborly peer pressure that that suggests to you that maybe the guy next door's got it right. He's doing
well,
it right.
Well, exactly. What you're saying is that you know, we might talk about the BMW that we have or that we want to get, but we don't go around saying, you know, hey, I'm halfway to my number. That kind of thing.
We don't think about that at all. And one of the
things might think about it, but we don't talk about it with each other.
That's right. I mean, often we don't talk about it even with our spouses.
Right.
And often we don't talk about it even with ourselves. You know, this is something that we're in denial about. You know, a lot of people don't want to think about the number because they don't want to think about being old. And
right.
They don't want to think about, God knows, they don't want to think about dying. So there's lots of layers of why we want to go into denial about that number. And what the book tries to do is to really get people to force people, you know, when they saw me coming, they knew this was not going to be a pleasant conversation, to force people to actually, you know, wrestle with, you know, how they are feeling about that number, whether they have it. And then just as importantly, if you don't get to that number, are you prepared to make some significant compromises and sacrifices in your lifestyle?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the baby boom generation in general is not a particularly good group of people when it comes to making compromises or sacrifices. You know, we were told we were always going to live better than our parents, that it was going to be more and more prosperity, and so on and so forth. And, you know, events have proved that that's not necessarily going to be the case, because all of a sudden we realize that no one's going to take care of us in our old age. You know, those old support systems, corporate pensions,
right?
Read about them every day. You know, they're frozen, they're imploding,
we're not,
whatever.
If we ever were adopted, they tore those papers up a long time ago, didn't they?
Absolutely. Now, Social Security, there's a cloud hanging over that.
Yep.
So, you know, so basically, you know, we are the captains of our own ship as far as the second half of our life is concerned. And the only problem is, one, our boats might be leaking, and then secondly, nobody ever taught us how to sail. You know, nobody ever said, oh, you want to get to that sunset across that beautiful piece of water?
Well, that's the second.
You have to know how to navigate.
Principles. Hang on a second, Lee. The second of Eisenberg's principles is the uncertainty and lack of motivation that comes from not knowing how money works. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah.
Lee Eisenberg is our guest. The book is called The Number. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Lee if he knows what the number is. I need a real number here. And also, we're going to talk about how to find your number. We're going to get Lee to help us with that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
And it makes it fast. One more thing.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Lee Eisenberg is here, too. He's the author of the new book called The Number, and that's what we're trying to get to. Lee Eisenberg, you got a website for the book?
I do. It's The Number Book, no punctuation, just thenumberbook.com. And I think it's a pretty good one. I'd urge everybody to check that out.
I agree. And it's available wherever books are sold, right?
Yes.
Lee, today is the 300th anniversary of the birth of Benjamin Franklin. Any thoughts on his birth, on that man?
Well, only that I grew up in the city that he, you know, did a lot to shape, which was Philadelphia.
Right.
And in fact, the school I went to, University of Pennsylvania, was founded by Benjamin Franklin, and there's a big, beautiful statue of him right in the middle of the quadrangle there on campus. And
somewhere in my notes here, I have the name of that. I was trying to find that. If you hear me flipping through the pages here, I was trying to find the actual name of the school before it became That and I, before it became the University of Pennsylvania, and I'll find it in a minute. But here it is. The Academy called it, I think.
Oh, really? Is that right?
In the very beginning, before it was an idea he had that then, as you know, as you say, became the University of Pennsylvania. Anyway, he's a great man, and we all have a lot to be thankful for, to thank Benjamin Franklin for, no question about it. Okay, Lee, we got to get to the number. That number is different for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not like a pair of men's socks. You know, one number does not fit all. there's just 100 or more reasons why that's the case. You know,
I talked to a guy the other day, a friend of mine, and he was talking about the number. Mm-hmm. And in his mind, the number, and it was interesting to hear him say this, the number is $5 million.
Yeah.
He felt that you needed $5 million to retire properly.
Yeah, well, you know, there's one part of the book which I think a lot of people find interesting is I came up with what I call a field guide to number chasers. And there are four basic types of those. You know, most of us are just procrastinators, which is we don't really think enough about the number soon enough. But it sounds like your friend is another one of those four, and that's a guy I call Plucker. This is a guy who just plucks a number right out of thin air. I need $5 million. You know, and you find a lot of these pluckers, especially in the financial business or down on Wall Street. I need $5 million. But here's the dirty little secret of pluckers is that, you know, he'll say $5 million, and then if he's fortunate enough to ever make $5 million, he'll immediately ratchet his number up to $7 million and then $10 million.
Well, of course, you got to upgrade the jet. You know, when you get to that point, you got to upgrade the jet.
Right.
and get a boat that's two feet longer. So, okay, but how do we find our own number?
Well, you know, basically there are ways that you could sit down and, you know, really crunch a lot of numbers. We're swimming in numbers. Just go online, and God knows you'll get all kinds of numbers, and you can project out, you know, your life expectancy and inflation rates and market returns and so on and so forth. In the book, though, and by the way, my book is not an investment advice book. It's really about why we don't take advice very easily. But at the end of the book, I do feel compelled to give what I call a quick and dirty formula for figuring out your number. And it is something that you can do, I forget, maybe in 8 or 9 simple steps. You don't have to do a huge amount of research. But then the kicker, and then you come out with a sort of bottom line number, but then the kicker is I ask everybody to think about what will really make them happy. What will really make you fulfilled? And I call that the satisfaction factor. And usually, the stuff that will really make us happy isn't particularly expensive. You know, it might be engaging some kind of creative impulse we feel inside, or giving something back to the church or community, or, you know, having the time to fix a broken relationship in our lives. You know, these don't come with high price tags per se.
Another thing,
so
Lee, you know,
to multiply,
you know, Lee,
that. Yeah,
when you and I were off the air, I asked you about your children, and you told me you had two children and told me how old they were. And I said, you're rich. And
absolutely.
I think that we all need a number. We need to be focusing on a real number. We all need to be preparing for our future. But I do think that it should be include looking around us and recognizing things that are not monetary.
Absolutely.
Like,
well,
like well-being.
That in the end, Jim, is the point of the book. I mean, a lot of people run around and say, ask themselves, how much do I need? But very few of us run around and say, what do I need it for?
Right.
And the point I was trying to make a second ago is if you figure out what you need it for, it may be that you may need a little less money than you think you need if all you're thinking about is buying stuff.
Right. Well, I read something from someone said the other day, and I wish I remember who it was. It may have been Benjamin Franklin. He said something about, you know, one of the keys to happiness is to want what you have.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And not want to have what you don't have.
Right.
Get really expensive.
So the number can be all across the table, right? All across the board.
It is all across the table. You know, one number does not fit all, as I said a moment ago. You know, one man's fortune is another man's monthly club dues. And I'm not, I'm not standing in judgment. You can, you know, have whatever attitudes you want. The essential point is make sure you have something in the center of that number,
right,
even if it's a small number, that you really care about.
Well, Lee, one of the things I'm going to say, I'll reiterate what you said there. Folks, you're not going to see any investment advice in this book. But you will probably see a lot of yourself in here, and probably, I believe, you'll find some answers. The book is called The Number. The author is Lee Eisenberg. Lee, congratulations on the book. Give us the website again, please.
thenumberbook.com.
And it's available wherever books are sold. Lee, good luck, and let's get you back on the show again another day.
Would love it, Jim.
Thanks. Lee Eisenberg, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Quick break, right back with Ramon Ray after these messages. We're going to talk about technology and small business.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.